Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
Turn off the Terrorvision. Turn on the Fiends.
The Freedom Fiends, armed and peaceful, as it should be.
The Freedom Fiends, non-aggression for your radio session.
Every Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. on WZFG 1100 AM. 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting feistiness straight to your earhole.
Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
The Bakken oil boom is a true free market phenomenon. It's the opposite of that fake stuff the Federal Reserve does. This ain't no housing bubble. You guys are out there getting it.
The Freedom Fiends. Horizontal liberation on your favorite radio station.
The Freedom Fiends are proud to be the talk radio house band on KTGO, Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m., and we thank you for your frackin' service.
Do it again.
First condom specific.
Oh. Okay. Sound check. Holla, holla, holla.
Holla, 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 holla. Yeah, yeah.
Freedom Fiends.
Fiends.
Fiends. Fiends. Yeah.
So hide your fiends, hide your wife.
We ain't gonna talk about no politics today, at least for the first hour, because we're just full of life. Yeah. So
yeah.
I said I'm a hunter. I'm not okay. Really a hunter, but you know, I have shot animals before and cooked them and eat them. And I swear, yesterday,
Wait. How are you not a hunter if you shot animals before and cooked them and eat them? That's the definition of hunter.
Michael. Well, I haven't done it lately. What have I done for the animal kingdom lately, other than petting cats and talking back?
But, you outsource your hunting.
Yeah, well, I swear if I could have got away with it yesterday, I would have taken the .22 and shot them city pigeons in my backyard. I don't like that city pigeons are showing up, man. I like the peace-loving doves,
racist.
Not those. I don't know, man. I left California because of that. And there was a liquor store robbery 6 blocks from my house from a gang member from Southern California, man. Of course, they caught him because, you know, there aren't too many people with facial tattoos in this town, so.
That's racist.
But, man, the pigeon. How do you know it's racist? He wasn't. I didn't even say what race he was, man.
Oh, I guess I'm being racist.
You are being racist.
It was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
You, dude, you're so brown. How can you be racist?
You're so brown.
You're so brown.
Racism knows no color. Racism is colorblind.
Tell that to Eric Holder. Yeah. He's racist.
Exactly. And he's black.
Well, Dustin.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Eric Holder half black like Barack Obama?
I think he's half like, not Puerto Rican.
Latino?
Some island thing. Let's look him up.
Ooh.
This is the Freedom Fiends, the radio show where we search things on Wikipedia and
where
read them to you.
You listen to us. Wiki. Yes.
Let's see. Early
Doesn't that
life.
Sound like fun?
His parents.
We're the Wikipedia audiobook.
His parents have roots in Barbados. You know, actually, the Wikipedia audiobook, there are some, some articles on there that have audio versions. And DJ and I did a very extensive, highly well-produced audio version of the article about cats. If anyone wants to check that out. Yeah.
As you would.
Yeah. It's here, let's listen to some of it.
Yep. We're talkers.
Play it right now.
The Free Encyclopedia. You want me to play it? I can play clips.
Recorded on May 13, 2007. Read by Dalai Lama.
And engineered by Thorn Daddy.
An image captioned cat with a link to other images of cats.
Cats. Yeah.
That refers to the cat's ability to fall asleep lightly for a brief period and has entered the English lexicon. Someone who nods off for a few minutes is said to be taking a cat nap.
Okay, enough of that. But okay. I've never actually said that on the show. If you want to go to Wikipedia, it's like a one-hour reading. It's really long because it's a long article. It's changed a lot since then. But yeah, that's my wife as Dalai Lama and me
as
Thorn
Daddy.
It's
almost a Fiends episode, right?
It almost
an hour
is.
About cats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I would have shot them
cats
city
are so
pigeons,
much easier
man.
Than dogs, man.
My cat's too
my
old.
Dog
Your
ran
dog
away
ran away.
Morning.
You know, the drummer in Bomb got a dog that he was trying to teach to be a self, to defend him, and he was mean to it. And the first time he took it out to Dolores Park, it just ran. It was like when Beavis and Butthead go get some big mean dog at the. I think Bill Dotrieve does that too. It's they get a dog and just runs away. I want to say, I have a pimple on my butt. And that's not morning zoo crew shock jock crap. It's like, it's kind of painful. I'm sitting in a weird, I have to sit like sideways with one leg up on something. And that's me suffering for the fiends, because I've been working so hard to get us on radio and do all this stuff that, like, literally I've been sitting too much. Last week it was carpal tunnel. This week it's a pimple on my butt in a place that's very painful to sit on.
Well, stand up and work, man.
Ah, okay.
Come on. I forgot. You can use.
Yo, stand up and work. I'm standing up. I'm rocking out.
I'm standing up right now.
With my cat out.
Hold the mic. Mic control it. Yeah. My dog, when we first got him, Yukon, he's an Alaskan Malamute with one eye. When we first got him in Wyoming, we took him to the park and threw the ball, and he acted like he was going to get it, and he sort of pump faked, like he acted like he was going to get it, and then he just ran off. Took off into the woods, and we searched for him for an hour, and then, like, when we found him, he just, like, came back to us, like, hey, guys, what's up? I enjoyed my run. Did you enjoy yours? And same thing this morning. he just sort of took off, and then 10, 20 minutes later, he saw Jessica, my wife, and he just ran up to her and was like, hey, how's it going? I enjoyed my walk.
So, unlike Tony, whose dog just left because Tony was a dick, and the dog didn't want to be around him, your dog just has no concept of, like, people want you to stick nearby. He's just like, oh, outdoors, right. I do what a dog does. Then I come back to the humans. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Holla, holla, holla.
Holla, holla, holla. Yeah. Yeah. I was catching up on my Antoine Dodson news right before you started us recording.
I don't know what that is.
Do you remember him? Do you remember him?
Oh.
Well, okay. So
see,
there
the
was
gay, the gay b-ball player?
No, not – oh, close, close. No, he was this guy. Okay, so there was this robbery or attempted rape or something like that. I think it was in Alabama. I'm not sure. Somewhere in the South. And a news reporter – this is one of those things, those news pieces that just becomes viral and famous, not because it's anything good about the news or the reporter or the newscast, but just because the interviewee is so awesome. And this guy, Antoine Dodson, he gave this great interview with these great sound bites about how they coming up in here, they raping everybody, so you better hide your kids and hide your wife. And then somebody like took it and auto-tuned it and made like a whole full-length song with that as the chorus. It's actually like really great musically. Like, it just sounded great. And so he was known as this famous gay guy that was saying, you know, hide your kids, hide your wife, they coming to rape everybody up in here. And then Huffington Post now has a story of he's apparently not gay anymore.
The glue Huffington.
Pray the gay away.
The glue Huffington Post.
The glue Huffington
That's
Post.
That's what we should start calling
Huffington
them.
Post.
Yeah, the Jankum Huffington. That's a – hi, I'm Jankum Huffington. Go ahead.
He's became some kind of
– Become.
Israelite – you know, Hebrew ancient Israelite religion. I don't know what it is. They don't really say it.
Yeah, the Jews who are Jesus and the Jesus who are Jews, but not Jews for Jesus.
No, I don't know if that's what
Coptic.
This is. It's called
Coptic. Isn't that it?
I don't think that's it. It's called True Chosen Hebrew Israelite Descendant of Judah.
Well, you know that Christianity for the first like 20 or 30 years was a sect of Judaism. It wasn't its own thing, and it wasn't like. You know, that's not like the later definition of it. That's what it was. They were like the Jews who followed this new Messiah of Jesus.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he says, quote, he's no longer into homosexuality. Like, that's not my thing anymore. Which is kind of cool that he's like, and he's very outspoken about it. And the
Huffington
Post seems
kind
of upset by
it. He's not anti-gay now.
Apparently not, because he doesn't seem to be trying to push his beliefs on anybody else. He's just in the interview with the Huffington Post, he's just saying it's for me. And the Huffington Post reporter is like upset by it. She's like, so what, you're trying to pray the gay away? You think people can just pray the gay away?
That's
he's
so
like
square.
No, I just think it could be lifted from me. It's in my past and I'm not ashamed of it, but it can be lifted from me, and I don't
want to. I experimented in college and my 20s and my 30s and my 40s, something like that, maybe. Is that what he's saying?
Well, kinda, yeah. Well, he's not saying experiment. He says it's in his past. He's not ashamed of it, but he just doesn't want to do that anymore because now he's into this true chosen Hebrew Israelite stuff. So, man, let the dude pursue what he wants and don't judge him for not being
gay
anymore.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I pretty much believe when gays say, I'm born this way, and they say that to people who want to tell them they shouldn't be that. But it's interesting to hear a gay person saying, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. And someone who's probably straight at the Huffington Post saying, no, you're born that way. You have to stay that way. You're not being politically correct because now you're with ladies.
Right, right, Right. Yeah, that's almost what it seems like. And I think the religion part also seemed to offend the Huffington Post reporter. I didn't watch the whole thing, so maybe I'm misreading the HuffPo reporter here, but that's sort of the sense I got. Was
liberals liberals want choice of religion and respect for religion for anything except Christians. I mean, really, like if the guy said, I'm a Muslim and I can't be gay anymore, she'd be like, okay. Or if he was a Hindu. Seriously. And another thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't want to be sounding like Bradley Dean here, but this is true. Every time somebody who's a Muslim does something violent, all the liberals say, and the fiends say, you shouldn't judge the whole thing by one guy. But when anybody does anything violent with a gun, all the liberals say, that's what gun people do. Yeah.
There's disconnect there, man. That's a really good point. Yeah, yeah, and it's because they aren't principled, they don't universalize their principles, so they have that disconnect. They don't understand that collectivizing any group is wrong, be that group Muslims or be that group American gun owners. People aren't one homogenous mass, man. People are individuals. Get it through your head.
Yeah.
And so if Antoine Dodson wants to do a YouTube or auto-tune the news about not being gay anymore, then he should totally do that. And,
did he do it, or was it done to him?
The thing auto-tune earlier was done to him. But he's become sort of his own web celebrity, just launched from this whole thing.
A weblity.
Yeah, so if he wants to do his own now about, I'm not gay anymore, then go for it, bro.
You sound like Goat Boy. There's a little too much Goat Boy in that there.
A little too much Goat Boy? Okay. Yeah. Got it. Let me turn that down on the mixing board here. Goat Boy, let's down to zero. Okay, we're good now.
You know, today is not the last non-live, non-radio Fiends we'll ever do, but the next Fiends we do is going to be on radio.
Radio.
Yep, and so far there's three stations taking it, and we're waiting to hear back from a bunch more. But this is kind of cool, and I want to do shout-outs to them. KTGO and KZFG KTGO is in Tioga. Is that pronouncing it correctly? Tioga, North Dakota, the heart of the oil country. You know, the place where if you don't mind sleeping in your car because it's a boom town and there's no fracking no fracking space at the end. If you don't mind going up there, you can be like an 18-year-old strong young man and go up there and work 80 hours a week and start making like $200,000 a year. Tomorrow.
Hell,
seriously.
Yeah. I should do that. That sounds awesome. I know. Yeah, man.
Be sending money. You'd be sending money back home like an immigrant.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
Those darn immigrants. They took their turn.
So we're basically going to be, this Saturday afternoon radio at the Hell on Wheels is what that is. That's a great thing.
Which is
thing.
Funny because when we were discussing Hell on Wheels, we were trying to figure out who we'd be in that fictional world. And you were like, well, we'd be the traveling preacher, the guy that comes to town, sets up camp, and says what it is.
And goes crazy.
We are literally now.
And then goes crazy. The yeah.
Hopefully we don't go
crazy.
Gets
driven out by the Irish. Wait, I'm Irish. Yeah. I'll drive you out.
Okay, we'll drive each other out. Yeah. It'll be conflict.
Well, I heard that I got eaten by Jello Biafra, and you have vowed to take over the Fiends and keep running it, which is fine with me. If I get eaten by Jello or a drone, you could do that.
Eaten by Jello, how tragically ironic.
You know, just have,
I will just cut you out of Jello's stomach.
Yeah, just have
and leave
DJ,
Jello intact.
DJ would have to FedEx you all the Comrex and the mixer, but yeah.
It'll be a proof of Walter Block's abortion theory. I'll just cut you out of Jello's stomach and put you in.
Actually, you
incubator.
Wouldn't need the mixer. All you need is the Comrex, because you'd be having co-hosts to try to take my place, so you'd have to have the mixer.
I'd have fienditions.
Fienditions. No, you just call Ben up every
week.
I
just call Ben. Okay.
Yeah. Ben. Okay, so the other
two birds with one stone.
Kill two Bens with one stone.
Yeah.
So the other station we're on is KP. Oh, we didn't do the really big one yet, but we're gonna be on.
We'll save the biggest for last.
Yeah. Now, are we on Saturdays or Sundays on those stations, or both? I forget which it is. It's Sunday, Saturday. So not
on
yet.
Both stations?
Not yet on Sunday. Saturdays we're gonna be on. WZFG and KTGO. Ooh, those two are owned by the same company, but they span the line between the K's and the W's. So KZFG is a 50,000 watt station. That is huge. That's like
no,
the
no,
biggest.
No, no, no. It's WZFG.
I'm sorry.
Is the 50,000 watt station.
I'm sorry. I'm standing up and I'm caffeinated and I'm psyched on radio and I'm jumping around and I can't see my computer. WZFG is a 50,000 watt station in Fargo. And
yes.
Between these two stations, it's covering part of like four states and two Canadian provinces. So how much butt does that kick, man?
So much butt. Yes.
Yeah.
The fiends.
Yeah.
The fiends. So if you're driving on the only road in Canada, you can now tune in. And instead of just Jesus and country
Jesus country.
Do they see in America, in Merca, when you drive, you can, and you're in the middle of nowhere, you usually just get Jesus or Tejano or some kind of Latin music. Do you get French music?
No, Jesus French. French is on the East. That's the East Coast of Canada, man.
Okay.
Although I don't think it, I know it covers Quebec, but I don't know if that's all the way to Newfoundland and Labrador, which we discovered is something in Canada today.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And the only road joke is from a South Park episode where the boys go to Canada to reclaim. I think it's Kyle's brother who's actually genetically Canadian and gets recalled back to Canada. And so they go to try to talk to the new prime minister, and they have to get there by following the only road in Canada because they're like, "How do we
follow
the
only road? Follow the only road."
In true, oh, what's that old movie with Dorothy? In true Over the Rainbow fashion.
Over the Rainbow. That's the gay version. That's the, no.
That's the gay version.
It is called The Wizard of Oz, Nima Vidati. I don't know what that is.
I don't know
young.
What that is. Yes. And the Canadian munchkins come out and sing, well, just follow the only road. Follow the only road. There's only one road in Canada, so follow the only road. It's great.
That is pretty awesome, man. That is pretty awesome. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure there's more than one road in Canada, but...
But we looked at the map, and there's pretty much one road. I mean,
it's
a,
like one interstate, and
it's
also
a branch off it.
One. That's the number of it, is one.
One.
So
one.
I think that's where the joke comes from. It's Highway 1.
Follow the only
road. Maybe they call it Road 1.
Follow the only road.
Because they say number stuff weird in Canada, too. We're getting all our Canada jokes out early, but have you ever noticed that in Canada, they don't say the 8th grade or the 7th grade, they say grade 8? Or grade 7.
Yeah. Whereas in England, they say first form, second form. Although at American private schools, at my school, they say form. Yeah. Sixth form is senior. First form is seventh grade.
Like you're in an RPG and you're like a monster that's leveling up. I'm form 2. I'm form 3.
Or you're being printed in layers in the state-bought 3000 3D printer.
Right.
He's up to form 5. He's almost complete.
The tax slave printer. Oh, this one's defective. Throw them to the freedom fiends. They'll figure out what to do with them.
Yeah, yes. So the one in the KTGL one, where we're going to be the house band at Hell on Wheels, it's called the Bakken Beacon. And Bakken is the name of the...
Bakken
is the oil... I better get this all right before we're live on there. We're going to be... we're going to be on there.
The Bakken Shale. So, yeah, that's like this oil boom place, I think...
Shut your fracking mouth. Oh.
it's booming, I think, from what I understand. Shale, S-H-A-L-E, is how they say it and spell it. It's a different type of oil drilling where they sort of drill in and then vertically, and then they have a line that goes horizontally, and it sort of sucks up all the oil out of the sands or the dirts or whatever muck is down there. They suck it up, and the technology is such now that they can actually produce usable oil out of what used to just be like mud with some carbon in it.
Yeah, and most of the liberals would like this town and this area to go back to be a ghost town. They don't want fracking. They need to shut their fracking mouths, man. It's that area, that state has literally the lowest unemployment in America. I mean, it's the kind of place where they give you a company car to flip burgers at McDonald's because they can't keep people hired. Because, you know, someone starts working at the McDonald's all day long. People are in there talking like, yeah, I'm making $250,000 a year. And they're like, man, I could do that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, and there were places in Wyoming that were kind of booming for a little bit before Bakken was booming. When I first moved to Wyoming in 2008, that was kind of the local sense was, you know, Wyoming's in an oil boom now. And CNN even came and did a story, somewhere in the west part of the state. What's that town between Jackson and Rock Springs? There's a couple of them. I forget the name of it. Pinedale, maybe. CNN came and did a story about that, about how, hey, everybody can be employed here because of the oil industry.
Rockridge? Rollins.
No, it wasn't that. But anyway, Doesn't matter what the name of the town was. It was the whole state was kind of like that, or certain parts of the state. And then the new thing was North Dakota. So a lot of the oil workers there in the booming Wyoming boom decided, hey, the next big thing is in Bakken.
Yeah. I mean, Casper, Wyoming's municipal motto is Oil City, the Oil City, isn't it?
The Oil City.
Although that's kind of based on old, I think now they're called Methton. Methton. Methton, Wyoming. Methton,
New
Wyoming.
Methton, actually.
New Methton,
yes,
Wyoming.
Yes.
Yeah.
New Methton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Methton.
But, well, and it's interesting, too. Maybe we need to come up with a new word for it. Well, I guess boom is different from bubble, so that is the difference in the terminology. Because an oil boom like Wyoming experienced and like North Dakota is experiencing now is different from what they used to call the housing boom, which is now well known as the housing bubble. A boom is something that's natural and market created. Like, hey, we found a new technology that'll help us get all this oil out of this new location that we used to not be able to get oil from. So everybody come over here. We're going to make a bunch of money. That's called a boom. And I think the big difference is, A, it's not driven by the Federal Reserve. It's not centrally planned. It's not people saying, hey, let's push all this money into this one industry because this one industry isn't doing so well like they did with like Greenspan did with housing. Instead, it's the market doing it. And so people can actually say, hey, we know already that eventually the oil could run dry or maybe there'll be some new place. And so people can calculate it differently. Whereas with the housing bubble, when it's a centrally planned thing, then you never really know when the bubble's going to burst. And people thought, you know, they bought houses and they thought, hey, housing prices are just going to keep going up and up and up and up because we'll always have the Federal Reserve and we'll always have Greenspan. So the boom is much different than a bubble, and especially something natural like an oil boom.
I think, okay, we're supposed to make promos today, 30-second promos for this station.
Promos.
I think you should condense all of that into 30 seconds for like – and we'll figure out how to really say Bakken. We'll go on the internet and find out how you say Bakken or Bakken. I think we should make a 30-second thing with you just ranting and like including the station in there about like the beauty of the market.
The
beauty of the fracking market. If we could probably do one that has the
word those people out there that are working, they're the true heroes, man. That's who I want to be thanking for their service, and they get rewarded well for it, and that's good. That's why they're out there, because oil field work is risky and it's dangerous, and you kind of got to be brave to do it, and you get a reward, and I think not only a monetary reward, but we should give them.
Do you think we should say thank you for your fracking service?
Sure.
Thank you for your fracking service.
Your fracking service. Yeah, I think it's – I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but maybe we could. It's close enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. We should thank them for their service. And I think that, you know, there should be some kind of social thanking of them for their service because think about – how much oil drives up the price of everything if we're not getting it as much as we need to get it. And when people find a new way to get it, they're the true heroes as far as helping everything run better. You know? So, yeah, I'm trying to find the name of that town. I think it was Pinedale. But, yeah. Oh, well. Doesn't matter. We'll move on, man. So, yeah, we got two stations up there in that north part of the country. Did we talk about the other one yet, the one down there in the south?
No.
It is pronounced south, by the way. what is the call letters of that station down in, what is it, Mississippi? Mississippi? M-I, crooked letter I, crooked letter no, okay. Bad at spelling.
I'm writing the guy and say, we'll make several, but we want to do an oil worker specific one. We love the boom y'all are having. We love the boom y'all are having, and we believe it is the free market in action. Can we say thank you for your fracking service in it?
Getting a little froggy there. Hopefully that doesn't scare him off. But no, the guy was a really cool guy, wasn't he? Like, he really dug everything we were talking about. So, yeah, man. Freedom. It is awesome. People love it. And we're here to tell you about how awesome it is so you can feel great about when you help the market. And
I think
you
should do one that's just like freedom, holla, 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 and then like do your like 90 seconds of free market analyses in like 20 seconds and then say the name of the station and say, you know, we want to thank the listeners. Thank you for your fracking service. So we'll let percolate on that. What is it? Chew on that. How do you
marinate.
Say it? Marinate.
Marinate
on that.
Marinate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let it all soak in.
Yeah. Let it all soak into your pores.
Yes, which is different from stewing in your own libertarian juices. Marinating is when something new is introduced and you have to incorporate it into your worldview.
Yeah.
Stewing in your own juices is when you're being isolated from everything else.
Like
and
me.
You're just stewing in yourself.
It's actually, it's like a Boston Tea Party term that he said somewhere on the internet, like referring to people who get twisted and unusual from worrying about what the world's going to do to them instead of laughing at it.
Right.
And yeah, just, and yeah. just,
well, it is an important phenomenon to point out because that does happen, man. Especially if you block people who are – well, I guess not. Okay. I won't bring that into it. But
if you isolate yourself like Michael Dean and just talk to the world in one direction through a Comrex and look at birds for your inspiration.
Well, what I was going to say is even the vast majority of media I consume is from other libertarians, other anarchists, people who are in the same mission or camp or at least in the same ballpark. But the other day, I was listening to the Stefan Molyneux show, and he was rebroadcasting an interview he did with an atheist show. I think it was called Skeptically Yours. And the host was just like yelling at him about taxation is not slavery. Oh my God, this doesn't compute. And he was just like flipping out. And I was like, wow, I forgot people still like believe that and think that way. And it was funny because the atheist guy was saying, you know, that's one thing I do buy about the libertarian argument is force is always involved. So how can you like buy that? How can you say that I definitely buy that and that's valid, that force is always involved, and still think it's okay?
Well, because you're seeing it as it is and you're saying, well, force, yeah, if we don't do it, someone else will do it. So at least the government will do it right. You know, I've been pitching us as friendly and fun and laughing at the tyrants when I talk to radio people. I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah, and that's what we do. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We don't yell and scream and cry, and I'm not really hating on people who do, because if that's your thing, man, go for it. You know, I'm not in the business of telling other people how they should live their lives or make their media, but my thing and your thing, and I think what we're best at, what our niche is laughter, man. Laughter is the best medicine, and I think if you can laugh at the tyrants, that's much to me it's more effective than acting like you're scared of them, because I don't want to give them the satisfaction of feeling like they instill fear in me, because I'm not going to be more afraid,
you know. Speaking
I'm
of which
be more reverent.
Speaking of which, GCN sent us the login info yesterday for their phone interface. You know, they've got someone there that screens the calls, types a little bit, like person's first name, gender, where they're from, what station they're listening on, and one or two words about what they're calling about. You know, we've all called in to Free Talk Live. We know how it works. And but we have an interface where we can accept the calls from the queue and then hang up on them when we feel like it. And there's a drop down menu list with like smiley face and frowny face icons of what the person's mood is. I found that really funny. And this interface is made by Comrex, and it's awesome. And it's the moods are like, you know, neutral, happy, angry, crying, and crazy. And I'm like, I don't know if I'd take a crying caller, but maybe, I don't know. But I love that. I think for talk radio, it should just be varying levels of crazy. Like, and the bottom one be like, you know, like hang up on them and just automatically forward it to like Department of Homeland Security or something like that. Not that we'd use that, but you know, sometimes
people will call and be like, hey, you guys are doing a great job. Just want to let you know. It's like, oh, thanks.
There should be one that just forwards them to the suicide hotline. I don't know what I would do. I've actually heard Ian deal with someone who called in and was suicidal. And there was somebody, some shock jock, who had that happen one time. And the person, and they made fun of the person, which I would never, ever, ever, ever do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I'd keep them on and let them work their problems out. And I don't know that I'd say, here's my home number, call me later. You know, I kind of think I'd turn them over to the suicide hotline. Actually, what I would probably do, because those are often state-sponsored and they'll turn people over to stuff, I would find out if the person has a substance abuse problem, and I would tell them to call AA or NA in their city. Because I used to do the NA hotline in San Francisco. They'd route it 3 hours a week to my house. And those are good. And that, you know, I think they could deal with it better than some government-sponsored suicide hotline.
Oh, I totally think so.
You'd get more empathy.
Yeah, because the thing about those kinds of things is they're peer-to-peer, man. Because that AA guy on the hotline you call, it's not his job. It's not like he goes there and punches a clock and sits at a desk and looks at Facebook in between calls. That's a real person that had problems probably pretty similar to whoever the suicidal caller was.
Yeah,
and can talk to him from a, hey, man, I've been there. You know, I used to do the same stuff. I used to have the same fears. This is what I did that helped. You know, take it for what it's worth. Instead of a, do we need to send the police to your house? You know, nobody wants that.
Yep. So let's go to the market and then come back and talk more on The Fiends. Holla, holla, holla.
Talk. A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Fiends, holla, 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 holla.
Yeah. So, speaking of faces, meaning moods, you know, in a visual user interface or a graphical user interface, me and the wife were at the doctor's office the other day, and I noticed a sign.
Are you okay?
A lot of you, huh?
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'll explain later. We can't explain now. But
you don't have a pimple on your butt, do you?
No. We actually take care of that between each other. But
my wife offered, but it was like, I tried pinching this thing already, and it was like, no, man. I was like paralyzed. I couldn't walk after trying to pinch it. I'm not going to let someone else, even that I trust implicitly. She likes to pop zits, though, which is kind of weird, but I like that about her.
Yeah. Both of us do. It's a mutual thing, and we take turns.
She likes to pop my zits.
Grooming apes.
Yeah, well, it's kind of it's a very intimate thing to pop your lover's zits, especially in a soft, squishy area that you don't want the world to poke.
Yes. So this is radio talk, yes.
No, this is not. This is our non-radio midweek show.
Oh, right, right. Okay, well, in that case, yeah, my wife calls it removing toxins, and it is one of her favorite hobbies. And when I come home from a long day of work, sometimes she's like, is it time to remove your toxins? I know there's lots of toxins there that need removal. And I'm like, I guess.
But I do that to cats. I like to gently scrape with my finger the goo out of the corner of their eyes. And I like to trim their nails. And
really? You'd like that? I hate
Well,
doing
it's
that
a two man job.
Hate it, man.
With two of our cats, it's a two person job.
Yeah.
But
I've tried it with my dog and you can't even get close.
We have to because
he's 70 pounds and he will flip out.
The cats destroy things. They get stuck on stuff. I mean, it really does help them. We also have Fuzzy scheduled for his kicky summer due in a couple weeks. We tried to do it but they're booked, man, because everybody had appointments and then it snowed and everyone canceled their appointments for their beasts. And now it's time to take him in and get his weird. But we're going to do a weird one this time. That's like, we keep getting a different haircut. Like, first time it was completely shaved and he looked like a rat. And then we left his mane and the end of his tail, but everything else looked like a rat. But this time we're only going to do him from like the middle of his belly down. Like, picture if he was a duck sitting in the water, like where the water line is, everything below that we're going to have shaved and everything above that we're going to leave. It's going to be freakish, but he's going to like it. And everything above that doesn't get matted. So it'll be everything below the water line of a duck and his butt.
So he's going to look like an armadillo.
That's what I said. But he'll stay warm because he gets cold when we run the AC in the summer. But then he can sit down on a blanket and cover everything that's shaved and then have his hair on the top to protect him.
Ah, okay. See, we're not going to do anything like that to Yukon the dog this year because apparently you're not supposed to shave double-coated dogs because it's risky. You risk the fact that parts of their coats might not grow back.
Double coat.
And we don't want that to happen.
Did you pay extra for the double coating?
I did.
Yeah,
yes,
it's worth
double
it.
The price for
it.
Double the coat.
That's an awesome dog, man. And, you know, they always say you're getting ripped off if you pay for the double coating. But I say dogs are worth it. Pay for the double coating when you get your dog.
Pay for the double coating.
Yeah.
But just don't shave it off because you might not get all the double coat coming back. And apparently de-shedding in some ways can do it too. I'm not sure what the product was, but there's a very famous, I think it's called the Furminator. And they say on their website that
Furminator.
It is safe. It's safe for double-coated dogs, but some of the forums say that don't do it. But I don't know if they're just being fanatical
don't
or what.
Do
but
it.
We're going to let his
in
we're
the morning.
Let his double coat take care of itself this
in
year.
The morning.
Double coat in the morning.
Fiends, yeah. But, in the morning. drive time to church in the covered wagon in Orange County, California.
There you go.
On your CB radio on channel 19, Breaker 19.
Take some deep breaths.
I saw there's a donut shop in Michigan owned by 9 policemen. It's called Cops and Donuts. And their logo is a pig eating a donut, like a Porky Pig looking pig eating a donut. And nice. and they call they have like a drive through service. They call it the traffic stop.
That's great. Well, I'm glad they got real jobs. I wish they would all do that.
Yeah, I think they're retired.
Wouldn't that
though
be great if all the policemen became donut shop guys?
I'd love it.
They're probably still drawing a state pension, aren't they? Yeah,
they should sell donuts and meth because that's the things they have the most contact with. Although here, the Wyoming cops wouldn't be very good at selling meth because they'd lose it. I love if you search Wyoming drug police, the first thing that comes up on Google is there were a bunch of cops in Wyoming training a drug dog, a drug sniffing dog. And they had a wooden box that had an ounce of methamphetamine in a plastic bag in it. And it said, they put with a big label maker on the side, it said methamphetamine. And they left it somewhere when they drove away on the back of the car. And they came back for it, and it was gone. And they said, yeah, we would like whoever found it to please turn it in.
Please return.
And no one ever turned it in, man.
Yeah.
So the cops here are just like,
yeah,
they just throw meth out on the highway.
That was a good day
here
for some local dude. Yeah, that was a good day for some commuter that day. Oh, wow.
Methden, where the roads are paved with meth. Thanks to your tax dollars at work.
Nice. But what I was going to start off at the top of this segment
double
with
coded dogs.
No, that's where we got off to on our tangent. But okay, so the faces, right? So we were in the hospital, or not in the hospital, but in the doctor's office. And you know there's that pain scale, right? The doctors will ask you, what's your pain on a scale of 1 to 10? And you tell them. Well, apparently there's also faces, and there's a chart with faces.
I've seen
it. Smiley face up to the sad face.
They're drawn.
Hold on.
They look like the deaf people faces thing, where like the deaf people come up to you and try to sell you something that teaches you deaf or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the same faces.
Yeah, they're kind of... they're kind of goofy like that. But, oh, the faces are actually some grad students or medical doctors actually put work into this apparently and have named it. It's called the Wong-Baker Faces Pain Rating Scale. I wonder if this was like one of their dissertations.
Huh.
Like, oh, for my dissertation, I'm going to draw some smiley faces and call them a pain rating scale. And it took 2 people to do it. And I'm thinking, man, is that really what you're at? And yes, apparently it is used with permission from Wong's Essentials of Pediatric Nursing, the 7th edition. So this is a published thing. So smiley faces to frowny faces is an IP. It's owned by Wong-Baker. So do not use in your own home faces with smiley faces.
Yeah.
Frowny faces for pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to listen to a Joy Division song about radio.
Here they have one. Joy Division is pretty cool.
Yeah, they are. But I think it's about music radio. I don't think you dance to the talk radio, but who knows? I do.
Well, there's also, we should follow that up with Lupe Fiasco's State Run Radio.
All right, cue it up.
Okay.
Radio. was just 5 years old. You know this doesn't happen at all. Every time she put on the radio, there was nothing going down at all. Not at all. One fine morning she puts on a New York station and she couldn't believe what she heard at all. She started dancing to that fine music. Oh, her life was saved by rock and roll. Hey, did rock and roll. Despite all the implications, you couldn't dance to rock and roll.
A number one song spinning all day long. And over again, and over again, and over again, and over again, and over again. And we don't win, we call it. And nothing really sounds to me. Stay fun, 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 radio.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you the special message about the forecast. The future's cloudy and it's raining on the poor class. Wrote the pieces closed, heavy traffic on the war paths. Love is balling on the budget. The military says it's gonna need more cash to keep fighting for your gas. Keep us in our hoods and hope we never explore past. Stay inside of your half. Believe the lies you learned in your class. That there's no treasure in your trash. And a ceiling has the same feeling that the floor has. And that's where you should stay. This is what they play.
Over again, and over again, and over again, and over again, and over again. And we don't win, we'll be calling. And nothing's free, sounds to me. Stay fine, 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 radio.
You're now tuned into the weakest frequency of fear. Keep you locked right here and hope you never leave this. Never be a leader. Think inside the box and follow our procedures. Never ever believe that you will never need this. Hit up all your friends and tell them to repeat this. How you're on the air, not what you wanna hear. Well, we ain't got the truth, but how about a remix? Different is never good, good is only what we pick. You ain't got a hit unless it sounds like these did. Not too smart, you will be a superstar. And if you dumb as some, maybe you could be number one.
Over again, and over again, and over again, and over again.
You dumb as some, you could be number one.
wireless back in 52. Lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Oh, oh.
That's enough songs about radio. You know, there really aren't many songs
DJ
about
DJ Michael Dean.
Yeah. DJing with two open tabs of YouTube, which is not the right way to do it.
DJ WMD. It wasn't bad for just YouTube DJing, for not having a deck and a mixer and all that. It wouldn't work too bad.
It would work at a Tard Dance.
Ouch. I can go back and truly mix those songs together if you want.
Why? The moment is over and it's done. Oh,
the moment was beautiful.
Yeah,
you're right. We should keep that beauty there.
I think we need to write a hit song about talk radio. There really aren't any. And how it all sucks except us and Free Talk Live and Alex Jones.
Okay. I'd be down for that. We'll put it on my list of songs to write. Yeah, man. Good times. Yeah, I just had, while that was happening, a homie hit me up and said, hey, master some songs for me. How much would you charge me? I said, I'll just charge you a hook or a verse or a beat.
No, charge some money, man.
I'd rather charge
some money.
People for...
You need to quit your job.
Charge some money.
Yeah.
I do need to quit my job.
Charge them a verse and $5. Or $10. Just get something for it, man. He's offering. He's asking you. Don't sell yourself short, people. I'm telling you.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 3D printed guns. There was a comment.
Oh, yeah.
I read this site called like USA. God, it's the dumbest site in the world. I got a Google alert because somebody posted the Anarchy Gumbo link. It's called like USA Forums or something where your voice counts. And I'm like, really? Okay. And it's just basically like people from America yelling on the internet. And that's the whole point of it. And
isn't
somebody
just called the internet.
Yeah, and there was one comment. I honestly can't tell if this was from a Republican, a Democrat, a libertarian, anarchist, what. But I kind of agreed with it. It said, "I expect that the future will hold legislation banning the technology and blocking the printing of these, with the full cooperation of the gun lobby, who are, after all, only concerned with the profitability of the gun manufacturers they represent." I mean, I don't think that's what they're fully concerned with, but that seems to be driving a lot of it. And I think that's why people like the NRA get in bed with congressmen, because they want to protect, you know, concealed carry permits, permitting, which we think is square permitting, you know, no, just have a gun. But, you know, so people will go out and pay for the training with the NRA certified training, things like that. This is a really good point. Mm-hmm. I want to watch this. I haven't seen an NRA response to it, Cody, yet. Have you? Though they tend to be really old school and slow with stuff. The only time
maybe they don't know they don't 3D they don't printer, know. What is that?
The only time they seem to get a fire under their ass is when a Democrat is about to get elected somewhere and they're asking for donations to try to stop him. And put in a Republican.
Well, I said it couple casts back. I was talking to some rednecks and we were talking about 3D printing and 3D printing of guns, and they were like, "Well, what would you do with a paper gun?" Mm-hmm. And I was you missed the point. Just because printer is in the word doesn't mean it's paper.
Yeah, but I'm really curious I'm curious what that person's politics are, because the second part of that, the gun lobby are only concerned with the profitability. You know, basically, I've heard gun grabbers criticize the NRA and say all they care about is selling guns for their advertisers. You know, which. You read their magazines, you kind of get that impression. They seem like they kind of are picking on this old Republican mentality of people who are like, oh my God, if I don't send $100 right now, Obama's going to get elected. I need to get Romney elected because he'll protect my Second Amendment because he said so.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you're a political lobbyist group like the NRA, You know, if you're involved in politics, they really should have backed Ron Paul, because Ron Paul might have had a chance with the NRA backing them. And Romney is no different. I mean, I think Romney would have passed more gun laws by now than Obama would. He would have gotten away with it because the Republicans would have been, oh, he's a Republican, you know?
Yep, exactly. The same way Barack Obama gets away with keeping Guantanamo open and starting more wars and drone bombing people to death. Because the anti-war left is like, oh, well, he's Obama, whatever. As long as we get our free health care, we don't care.
Yeah, but this USA Forums thing was like some of the most statist crap I've ever seen. There was actually a few comments in there that were like, well, here's what we need to do about printable guns. We need to outlaw them, and then anybody who breaks any law should be publicly executed. Problem solved. That'd be laughable if it wasn't so horrible, man. Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah. Talk about what's wrong with
that. I think it is. It is laughable, man. It is laughable because you hear that about everything. Like anything people get riled up about, they think, well, just have the state kill them or just put them all on an island. Put all the child molesters on an island and nuke it. I'm not defending child molesters or anything. I'm just saying that seems to be the knee-jerk response of a statist is death. Well, just kill them. Kill them more, and then the world will be better.
Kill them more. Kill them several times over.
Yes, yes.
You know, and the problem, I mean, other than the ethical problem of that, and it wouldn't solve anything, and it would create a bigger incentive for people who are willing to break the law to sell things. I mean, you know, if you made it the death penalty to have cocaine, you know what cocaine would sell for? It wouldn't be $100 a gram. It'd be like $10,000 a gram, and people would pay it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. People would still do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It would be like, okay. No, here's what it would be, is people that have money would say, all right, here's a list of people I want murdered. I'll give you a gram of cocaine for each one you murder. That's what the unintended consequence would be.
There's also the consequence, and this is huge, of when you outlaw or have an edict against something that's an object, something that's not an action. You know, it's not an infringement of property rights. It's not a physical it's not something you did in real life. It's just something you own or have in your house. Then you open up this whole structure of allowing the state, and you set the precedent of allowing the state to search you all the time and completely disregard the Fourth Amendment and have SWAT teams. I mean, that's why we have SWAT teams. That's why we had that situation in Boston where they locked everybody in. The reason the local police departments and sheriff's offices got those bearcats in the first place or had SWAT teams in the first place was a big part because of the drug war. And so
– and the threat of terrorism. The you know, these bearcats are going to be to stop Al-Qaeda when they march down the street on Beacon Hill.
Right,
that's why
right,
they have them.
Right. But that came later. I mean, the real growth of the SWAT phenomenon was really the drug war. I mean, there was that photo op of Nancy Reagan, was it? In an actual tank, okay, if you want to be MSNBC
actually,
about it.
Actually, if
wasn't
you want to take
actual
it,
tank?
Yeah, she was in an army tank. But if you actually want to take it, the beginning of the SWAT team wasn't the drug war. The drug war is what drove them being everywhere and being really hyper-militarized. The thing that created the modern SWAT team was the North Hollywood shootout, that bank robbery, where there were some guys who were way more prepared than most bank robbers. They basically trained for it for like a year. It was two guys that met weightlifting at a gym. They had weapons that police didn't have back then. They had homemade body armor. They were they took tranquilizers and narcotics, like not enough to get really high, but enough that like they could keep cool in any situation. And if they got shot, they could keep going. They took like anticoagulants, so if they got shot, they wouldn't bleed out. I mean, the police actually had to go to a local gun store and borrow guns because they didn't have guns that could match these guys. And, they both ended up killed, but after they shot a bunch of people, man, that's where the SWAT team came from. Right. But as soon as the North Hollywood Police Department got that, everybody else said, I want that. You know, I mean, if you look at 70s cop shows, they have tactical response teams. I don't think they were called SWAT then, but it's like, you know, when there's a hostage situation, basically a van pulls up with a bunch of guys with deer rifles and old bulletproof vests, you know, which is not really a proper SWAT team, but it's what they had then. Because back then, police officers wore no vests and wore bright blue uniforms you could see from a distance that were good targets to bad guys. And they carried you know, six shot 38 revolvers.
Okay.
So,
well, I guess still though, the bottom line for me is when you outlaw or have something like this, like drugs or printable guns, or even something that's in the ether, like an internet file, then the only way to enforce it is full surveillance. It's to keep an eye on everybody as much as possible and to have full power to go in and search whenever possible. And I guess it's a tandem thing of drug war and terrorism. But those are just really excuses they use for more control and more power over people's lives. And if you give them that inch, I mean, once they cross the line, even if it's for something that you were really scared of, then they're going to use it whenever they want, however they want. And you're going to be the one who ends up getting tyrannized one day. And you're going to be like, well, why did this happen to me? It's because you were okay with it. It's because you don't have any principled opposition to it anymore, because you said it was okay to use the SWAT team against this one drug dealer and he should be put on an island and executed. Well, then when you do something that's a victimless crime, you have no ground to stand on anymore. When you say this is tyranny, I can't believe they're trying to take my guns away. Well, you didn't say anything when they were trying to take your neighbor's drugs away.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got a couple more things, but we're going to end it short today because we got to go make radio promos. Yay.
Yeah.
And we're not cheating the fiends. We give a lot to the fiends. And this has been an hour and a half's worth of feistiness in an hour. So a couple things real quick. I want to thank Richard for the donation of $17.76. But that's the second time we've gotten one of those. And again, I want to say, if you want to be really feisty, it should be a penny less than that. That's all I'm going to say. let's see.
We're asking less money. Yes.
Yeah.
That's check how
out,
awesome we are.
Check out,
give us a penny less.
Check out this website. Bernie, who's a fiend fan in Sussex, England. His site is imageconjurer.com. imageconjurer.com. He's a really cool portrait photographer, and there are some scantily clad women on there, but all of it's really cool. And he also has a free book called How to Look Fabulous in Your Photographs, which is really cool. It's like, you know, how to not look as old and fat in your pictures. That's how he describes it, basically. But it's more than that. It's like how to take great pictures of people, which is a really cool thing to know. So check that out. And I want to end with talking a little bit about the Adam Kokesh July 4th
upcoming. I was just about to push it in that direction.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Well, explain what it is for those who don't know.
Okay. So from what I understand, and this is huge, so I'm pretty sure anybody listening to this has heard of it and know about it already. But so Adam Kokesh, who's, you know, really awesome at this sort of activism and provocateur stuff. That's kind of one of my favorite things he does. You know, obviously, I also like it when he goes out with a video camera and catches stupidity.
That's my favorite stuff is the man on the street
stuff.
But
he also does really cool activist stuff, like he did the Jefferson Memorial Dance Party. Really fun stuff and interesting stuff to watch.
Eddie Free did that, and Adam showed up and took credit for it.
Too. Okay. Fair
that's,
enough.
That's
fair
fact. Enough. That's fact, and Adam has apologized to Eddie for that. That's what I heard about it anyway.
But still, the work Adam did on it as far as getting body slammed and having it videotaped. That was Adam.
And having lawyers available for him and Eddie, so I think. So.
Right. But anyway, so the new thing is this – he wants it to be like 1,000 people, armed dudes. He said in a statement
people.
He wants it to be
men and women.
Rifles. Okay, people. Rifles or shotguns slung on your back, away from your hands, you know, and march from
Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia.
Arlington National Cemetery to
cross
DC
the bridge.
And, and then come back. As an open carry protest, as in, hey, we have the right to bear arms and defend ourselves. We're doing it. Watch us do it. The problem being, at
nobody's
least
coming
from
back.
Some people.
Nobody's coming back from that, man. I mean, Ben Quaker rightly pointed out they can arrest them when they show up because Arlington National Cemetery, okay,
right. In
Arlington, Virginia, it'd be legal to open carry. It'd still be probably problematic because it's Virginia, but it's not rural Virginia. It's basically the bedroom community for all the goons in D.C. I used to live there. I know Arlington like the back of my hand. I know the spot he's going to leave from. I know the spot he's going to walk across. I know where he's going to come out in D.C. I know the whole area. I know the vibe. Arlington National Cemetery is not Virginia. It is federal land. It's the U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm.
So It's basically legally the same as a bunch of people with weapons walking onto a U.S. Army base. That's not recommended.
Yep. No. And Army bases are a whole different thing, man. I mean, soldiers often can't even have sidearms of their own
exactly.
in an Army base when they're in the military.
Yeah.
Now, that's a huge point, and that's really important. Is Ben says, you know, you guys – and this is getting a lot of press. So it's possible that the Army will already have a response there. They'll have people there
drones.
Preventing you from coming in even or arresting you as soon as you get out of your car. So yeah, that is a big thing that you can't even carry guns on a military base often if you're a soldier. You know, if you're part of the Army, you can't carry a sidearm. I mean, remember what was it that place in Texas with Nadal Hassan who went and shot a bunch of people and nobody could shoot back because the soldiers had to wait for the cops to arrive.
There was a thing recently in Alaska where a soldier accidentally discharged his private firearm. Nobody was hit. It like went through a wall. He was kicked out of the Army for it. They're really serious about that stuff.
So I think Ben has a very valid point that maybe that's not the best idea to try to show up at Arlington National Cemetery with 1,000 people with rifles and shotguns in their car. But, you know, that doesn't mean that Adam couldn't rework some problematic things about this. I mean, there's a lot of problems with I think, this idea. But what would you think if Adam said, okay, fine, well, we'll just show up in the town center of Arlington or somewhere safe that you can get out and strap on your rifle?
Well, that's already been done. They had a Second Amendment rally last year at a park in Arlington where you could see D.C. across the river. And I think this is kind of inspired by that, although I think this is more kind of inspired by the battle at the bridge at Lexington and Concord. But the thing is, this is not that. And, you know, I wouldn't advocate for that. I'm not saying, let's go shoot people. That's not going to work. It's not good. It's not going to help. They have drones. And, you know, we're peace loving guys. I guess some people say we're pussies, according to a lot of the comments on the Alex Jones interview with Adam about this. There's a lot of comments on there. People should go look at those comments. It's kind of interesting. I actually think there are COINTELPRO agents posting on that forum because there's a bunch of people posting over and over like, hey man, why are you going to keep your guns holstered, man? Pull them out and use them. It's time and stuff like that, which is just, I think that's someone from the government. My problem with this whole thing is, I mean, I admire his balls and I think he'll do it. I don't think he's going to just talk about it and do it and not do it. I think he'll do it.
I don't know if he's going to get 1,000 people to do it with him, though.
I think he'll do it if he gets no people. I mean, that's the way he rolls. But my fear is that people will show up who are, you know, wanting to shoot. And it's not going to be pretty. And there are going to be people there who don't want to shoot, who, if people start shooting, are going to get shot. I wouldn't go near this with a 1,000-mile pole, first of all. I mean, first of all, I wouldn't set foot in D.C. at this point in my life. Yeah. I wouldn't go anywhere I can't bring a gun legally. And even if I had a permit where I could carry a gun in D.C., I wouldn't go to D.C. I used to live in D.C. There's no reason to go there, man. It's like it's politicians and like people that want and gang members. You know, it's government gang members and street gang members. Why would I want to go to a place that's filled with both?
Well, it seems like Adam's sort of take on this is he wants to show and it's what he sort of said in the Alex Jones interview, which I have queued up if you want me to play any of it at any point. But I think we can pretty much break it down.
Yeah, break it down.
His sort of statement is
Ben already played it a bunch of it and talked about it. So we'll just.
OK.
Go listen to Ben Stone if you want.
He played some other guy yelling, like some Cantwell guy.
Some guy that's like, you know, kind of feisty, like, yeah, let's, you know, I don't.
Yeah, he didn't play the Alex Kokesh interview that I heard.
Alex Kokesh. Alex Jones and Adam Kokesh.
Yeah. Alex Jones and Kokesh together. But my point was, Kokesh sort of says, you know, this is to show the world that Washington, D.C. calls itself the capital of the freest country in the world or the land of the free. And if they are, fine, and we'll walk unmolested, but they're not. And if they do molest us, then it'll show the whole world that we're right. But I think one of the things that's missed there is – the average person isn't going to take it that way. And my wife was telling me this because I asked her how she felt about this. And the way they're going to be demonized in the media is now we're going to get people who think that libertarians and voluntarists are in the same camp as sovereign citizens and the Patriot movement.
Because it's basically
Timothy McVeigh. And that's what
magic,
people are going to
It's magic
think.
Words. It's magic words saying because we have the right to do this in the Constitution and we're saying the right words that we can, that we, that we'll be able to do it. And, you know, it's, I, my fear is that, you know, I mean, I think he's doing it under the thought of, you know, the worst that'll happen is we'll be told to get back in our cars. We'll videotape it. We'll go home and be able to say, look what they did to us. They don't walk their talk. And he'd be right. But I'm afraid that's not what's going to happen. And from some of the comments of people who say they're going to show up, I don't know, man. I wouldn't want to be within a mile of this if, when it happens, honestly.
I wouldn't want to be on the same seacoast. I'm safe here in Texas. Yeah, I'm going to stick to that.
I think it's very I believe that Adam's heart is true, and I don't think he's a COINTELPRO agent or anything like that, but I'm wondering if he came up with this on his own or if some, you know, some hot chick came up to him at some demonstration and said, hey, you know what you should do? I mean, I'm wondering if someone planted this idea. That you know,
well, if the government and media, if something does happen, the government and the media are going to spin this in a horrible direction, and it, all it takes is one bad apple, and even if the person didn't pull out his gun and threaten a cop, if the cops do end up shooting somebody, and this is kind of a Kent State kind of thing, that will be the story, because that's what cops do when they shoot somebody. When there's one of those quote officer involved shootings, it's always they pointed the gun at me, or they were reaching for it in a threatening manner, or they had a threatening look about them. It'll get spun that way, and the general public won't question it any further. They're going to go, and can you believe those crazy Kokesh supporters?
Yeah, it won't be like Kent State. Kent State was unarmed protesters yelling with signs. It wasn't people with weapons saying, you know, we're going to peacefully reenact the spirit of 75 here, which is what this is.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was kind of interesting because Adam Kokesh does say, hey, this is an armed and peaceful thing. I don't know if he used those exact words, but he used armed and peaceful in the same paragraph at least.
And
so it's kind of like a cast we recently did where you can be armed and
you
peaceful.
You can be armed
and
peaceful, but I'm just worried that the cops or the Fed police or whoever won't be armed and peaceful. And there are so many jurisdictions at play here. There's so many goon squads that could show up. You've got the army, you got the military police, you've probably got the National Guard if they want to call them out for this, speaking of Kent State, you know, the Virginia National Guard. You've got the DC Metro Police, you probably got the FBI, maybe some CIA. I mean, you've got so much potential for so many armed tyrants to show up and wait for someone to do something stupid. And a bunch of stupid people have said they're going to be there, or a few loud, vocal, really crazy, stupid people have said, yeah, I'm going to come there. And, or, and people who haven't said they're going to show up have said things like, you know, why keep your weapons holstered? You know, why not? Why just talk? You're just talking. That's not going to get anything done. Pull them out and use them. Well, people are saying that. It's really a bad. I wouldn't go near it, man. I would not go near it.
Yeah. Well, recently I did reference the Children's Crusade, and I heard somebody else reference it in a piece of libertarian media recently,
what is that?
Too. And so I don't know what the deal is, but this is probably a better analogy to the Children's Crusades. Children's Crusades were, in the Middle Ages, the Europeans were really wondering why, hey, if we're right and God is on our side, how come we can't take back Jerusalem? And so I guess somebody came up with the idea of, well, let's send children because their hearts are pure and they're innocent. And maybe God will believe that they are the true heirs of Jerusalem.
Is this the first child soldiers?
Kind of. I don't think they were armed, though. I think they came in and the thought was, we'll just ask for Jerusalem and they'll give it to us. And obviously that didn't happen, and it was a very tragic thing. But it's almost kind of the same thinking of, hey, we're right. I mean, obviously humans have a natural right to be armed, and even the document, the law of the land, the Second Amendment says so. So since we're right, that's all it takes. And we're going to go in with justice on our side, and we will carry the day and be victorious just because of that. The thing is the state doesn't give a crap. The state doesn't play by its own rules or any other rules, really. The state just increases its own power and demolishes threats to its own power and its own existence. And that's what I worry about happening here is no matter how right you are, how much you have justice and morality on your side, the state doesn't care one iota about that.
Worms. I think that's a good place to end, man. I can't top that. That's feisty rant number two.
Yes.
For today, May 7th, 2013, the show before radio for the Freedom Fiends.
Radio.
Worms.
Worms.
50,000 watts of tyranny-busting feistiness and fun straight to your ear hole. I need a sip of something. Straight to your ear hole. 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting feistiness and fun straight to your ear hole. I think I'm going to take out fun. 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting... 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting... 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting feistiness... 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting feistiness straight to your ear hole. How was that?
A little more lively, but that was the right form. Just do some jumping jacks or something, man.
All right, yeah. My butt hurts.
That's it. That's the energy. Okay.
I'll stand up.
Just like that.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Hang on. 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting feistiness straight to your ear hole. 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting feistiness straight to your ear hole.
Okay. Yeah, that's
all right.
Good.
All right.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.